And welcome to another episode of the Anxiety Rx podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Russell Kennedy, as you probably know, a doctor and clinical neuroscientist who suffered from crippling anxiety for many, many years. Until I found that anxiety was really this state of alarm in my body. And I call this episode Alarm is the New Anxiety, like orange is the new black, alarm is the new anxiety. And understanding anxiety and panic from the inside out. Today, I want to flip the script on how we see anxiety. You've been told it's a thinking problem. Anxiety is an issue of the mind. It's not. It's a feeling problem, specifically a body-based feeling problem. And today, we're going to dive into three key ideas, that there are two types of alarm that drive anxiety, foreground alarm and background alarm, why we need to stop treating thoughts and start treating our emotional states, and what really happens during a panic attack and how to start diffusing them. So the first one, alarm versus anxiety, a fundamental shift. You've probably been told that your anxiety is about your thoughts, your mindset, your belief systems. But here's the thing, thoughts themselves are painless. The pain comes from when we believe that, when we believe the thought, and it starts this alarm feeling in our body when we believe these negatives, warnings, what ifs, worst case scenarios that are going to happen to us in the future. And that affects us, our body, that affects in our body. And it creates this issue that we don't know what to do with, especially medical professionals, psychiatrists, psychologists. They don't really know what to do with the alarm in the body. They know what to do with the thoughts of the mind. We can rearrange those. We can analyze those. We can dissect those down, but we don't really address the alarm that's sitting in our body. And that's the fundamental root cause of what's causing the anxiety in our mind, is this alarm that's sitting in our body. The true problem isn't the thoughts in your mind. It's the physiological state of alarm in your body that generates those thoughts. And you think the way your body feels. You think the way that your body feels. You will think the way that your body feels. And if your body's in alarm, your thoughts will follow that feeling. It's the alarm in the body that creates the worrisome thoughts of the mind. So I divide alarm into two main categories: foreground alarm, which is really the sympathetic branch of the autonomic nervous system, and background alarm, which is this old subcortical, subconscious, below the level of conscious awareness alarm that we carry in our system, usually from unresolved wounds, usually from childhood. So foreground alarm is the acute alarm. It's the sympathetic nervous system. It's the fight or flight nervous system in our body. And this is what most people associate with anxiety, this acute, sharp sense of rush in our body, the sweating, the nausea, the grit in our gut, this feeling of just tension, this fight or flight tension. This is what most people think anxiety is. And it does contribute to it, for sure. This foreground alarm, this sympathetic nervous system response, public speaking, being late, hearing a loud noise, that response fires up our nervous system. And the problem with foreground alarm is that it doesn't distinguish between real and imagined threats. So if you get a critical email, if your boss tells you you're not doing a good job, if your partner comes up and says, hey, we have to talk, this stuff can trigger this sympathetic foreground alarm, this automatic fight or flight foreground alarm in our nervous system. And usually this foreground alarm comes up quickly. And it's supposed to fade quickly too. But in those people like me that have anxiety, the foreground alarm takes a while to calm down. But initially, we think of foreground alarm as something that comes up quickly and we see a snake that's in the bushes, but really turns out to be a stick. And then it goes back down again. The opposite side of that is what I call background alarm. Background alarm is this persistent undercurrent of unease, this feeling of impending doom. It's not necessarily loud. And it is constant, though. So this background alarm sits in our system. And it's usually from unresolved wounds. So we can get triggered by a similar situation happening now that happened back then. And it might have come from neglect, emotional absence, abandonment, whatever happened to you in childhood. If you see something that's reminiscent of that in your adulthood, it will trigger this background alarm. in a way, it's kind of like a phobia. So if you're afraid of snakes and someone even talks about a snake or you see a snake, it's going to fire it up. So if you were yelled at by a parent and then you're in a grocery store and you hear a parent yelling at the child, this is going to trigger that background alarm, which of course triggers the foreground alarm as well. So you get this combination of foreground alarm and background alarm that link together that creates this feeling like you're out of control. This feeling like we cannot calm ourselves down because the foreground alarm, the automatic sympathetic fight or flight response, has coupled with this old response that we got from being not treated well as children or having a trauma that wasn't resolved. So the foreground alarm and the background alarm link together. And they create this sense of unease, this sense of impending doom, this sense that we are not safe. And we don't feel safe because this alarm in our background has been triggered. And that has triggered the foreground alarm. So the two of them link together and it gives us this sense of impending doom. We may not be able to see exactly what's going on, exactly what's going wrong in our environment, but we feel it. We feel it in our body. This is the alarm in our body. And then our minds, being a meaning-making, make-sense machine, sense this feeling of foreground and background alarm in our body, and we will think how our body feels. So if our body feels alarmed, we're going to think alarming thoughts. It's just the way the mind works. So in most disciplines, we try and treat the thoughts, but the thoughts are just a byproduct. The thoughts are just the effect of the underlying cause, which is this background and foreground alarm linking together. Foreground alarm typically comes up and then goes down. You see that the snake isn't a snake, it's a stick, so the foreground alarm goes down. Now, if you have a phobia about snakes, that background alarm may stay live in your system. You may be 2 miles down the trail and still thinking about the stick that looked like a snake. That's background alarm. And it's similar to what was reminiscent of stress in your childhood. What you felt in your childhood, if that gets shown in your environment as an adult, that will trigger your background alarm, which triggers your foreground alarm. I have trouble with the word trigger today. So anything that triggers your background alarm will trigger your foreground alarm, and they link together. And then when we get into this foreground alarm, background alarm linkage together, we paralyze our prefrontal cortex and we go kind of unconscious. We start creating all these worries, warnings, what ifs, worst case scenarios, but we don't have the wherewithal to be able to see that those warnings, what ifs, worst case scenarios aren't real. So why am I telling you all this? I'm telling you because we have to start treating the alarm. Treating the thoughts is rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. We're not going to fix anxiety by trying to fix our thoughts and trying to think more positively. We will help it a bit. We will learn how to cope with it. But until we actually treat the alarm that's stuck in our body, specifically the background alarm, we're not really going to heal the anxiety. We're just going to help cope with it. We're just going to learn how to cope with it. So cognitive therapy, mindfulness, journaling, these are helpful tools, but we need to focus on the body as well. In fact, the body probably plays a bigger role, the body keeps the score, than the cognitive mind, because these anxiety programs are in the body. They're in the part of the brain that doesn't deal with language, doesn't understand language. This is the part of the background alarm that sits in our system that makes us feel uneasy, that makes me feel that there's some sort of impending doom coming to get us. This is background alarm. This is the root cause of what you call anxiety. And unless we treat this root cause, this background alarm that's stuck in your system, we're never really going to heal anxiety. We can learn how to cope with it, but we'll never really learn how to heal it. Another way of saying this is that if your nervous system is in alarm, your mind becomes a fear factory. And that fear factory goes back and affects the alarm. And they each cycle on each other. So this is why I say alarm is the new anxiety. And because alarm is the new anxiety, we have to start at the root. We can't think our way out of a feeling problem. We have to feel our way out. And that's how we heal from anxiety. We feel our way out of the alarm. We allow ourselves to feel it, to process it, to metabolize it. And then it doesn't force us into our heads anymore where we have to make sense of it because we've metabolized it. You probably heard me talk about the alarm anxiety cycle, and here's how it works. The alarm in our body, background alarm, foreground alarm, triggers the negative, worrisome thoughts of the mind. And the worrisome thoughts of the mind re-trigger the alarm in the body. So we get into this alarm anxiety cycle. So your mind senses through this concept called interoception, the alarm that's stuck in our body. So your mind feels it. Your mind feels this scary feeling. And the mind tries to make sense of this discomfort. So it creates a scary story that is completely consistent with this feeling of fear that's stuck in your body. And then when you believe this thought, both the worries and the alarm in the body increase. And that increased alarm feeds even scarier thoughts, which paralyzes your prefrontal cortex. So not only are you making more scary thoughts and worries, but you lose the part of your brain that would say, hey, these worries are a little bit ridiculous. And around and around and around we go. This alarm anxiety cycle is at the heart of anxiety. And unless we treat the alarm part of the cycle, we're never going to heal. So I want to talk a little about panic attacks. Panic attacks aren't random. They're the collision of background and foreground alarm. So here's what happens. Your background alarm has been rising for days or even years, and a seemingly small trigger, a noise, a thought, a tight space, sets off your foreground alarm, sets off the sympathetic nervous system. Now you've got a system flooded with adrenaline and cortisol, and your brain is flooded with norepinephrine. Your prefrontal cortex goes offline because it goes into survival mode. You don't need to think when you're being chased by a lion. So you lose access to reason, and the mind starts scrambling for an explanation. I'm dying. Is this a heart attack? Am I having a stroke? And you start going crazy trying to figure out what's happening with an impaired brain. A brain that can't think, you're forcing to try and come out with a crucial understanding of what's happening, which of course creates more alarm. So your body creates this alarm and your mind creates this misinterpretation of the alarm into this horrific thing, a heart attack or a stroke or whatever it is, which of course creates more alarm. And your mind becomes more confused and labels it as a catastrophe, which of course energizes the alarm anxiety cycle. And it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And it ramps up to the point where you'll completely go unconscious in a way. Your mind has got to the point where it's scrambling to find a solution for something that it can't find a solution to. Or the solution that it comes up with is so scary, heart attack, stroke, death, that you can't control it. So everything completely cycles out of control. Now, how do we deal with this? How do we begin soothing the alarm? Well, it's not by thinking harder. It's not by thinking more. It's not by trying to calm down or use logic. You calm down by going into your body. Start with some self-touch. Put your hand on your chest. Put your hand on your belly. Do some physiological sighs. Create some belly breathing. Slow your exhale. It's really important to start controlling your breath, because when you control your breath, you control the sympathetic nervous system. Otherwise, the anxiety is just breathing for you. When you're in a panic, your panic will breathe for you, and it won't do you any favors because it's going to start breathing you really quickly, which of course is going to tell your brain that you're in trouble. And then your mind is going to make up worse and worse and worse stories of what exactly is happening. And your panic gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And it's important to understand that panic attacks aren't a sign of weakness. They're not a sign that you're broken. Universally, what I see in my patients with panic attacks is they have two completely opposing things happening. They're in a job that they hate. They're in a relationship that they hate, but they can't get out of it. And the way that the brain handles that is it creates all these warnings, what ifs, worst case scenarios in the brain, and the body gets alarmed and they can't ever find a solution to it. There's never a conclusion to it. So you completely stay locked in this system of anxiety and alarm, and it just repeats itself until you find the ultimate cause, which is this alarm in your body. Once you start treating the alarm in your body, then you start getting a handle on bringing your prefrontal cortex back online and being able to think rationally about it. You can't think rationally about something when you're in this panic state. And if you had a panic attack, you know that you become completely irrational. Panic attacks aren't a sign of weakness. They're not a sign that you're broken. They're just a physiological overload from usually having two completely opposing thoughts in your brain. I have to quit this job. I need this job. I have to stay in this relationship. I don't like this relationship. It's your alarm system firing on all cylinders, but going nowhere. It's like having your foot on the accelerator and the brake at the exact same time. So we need to focus on the root of what's causing this, which is this sense of alarm that's in your system. Your background alarm and your foreground alarm have linked together, paralyzed your prefrontal cortex, and told you all these horrible things, and then created this place where you can't sort them out. So it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. But you're not overreacting. You're not too sensitive. You're not fragile. You're alarmed. And you've probably been carrying this alarm in you for a very long time. So the great news is this alarm can be soothed. This cycle can be broken. And the first step is recognizing that anxiety is not in your head. It's in your body. It's in your nervous system. So stop treating thoughts like they're the enemy. Stop treating the thoughts as like they are the source of your anxiety. They are just the tip of the iceberg. They are the part you can see. The part, the deeper part below the surface of the water is this alarm. Most of the iceberg is this alarm below the surface. The thoughts, the worries are only the part that you can see. So we need to focus on this bigger part of the iceberg, which is the state of your body. In conclusion, the most important part of this episode is realizing that it's the alarm in your body that you need to stay with. What happened when you were younger is you had this alarm. You may not have noticed it, but you had this alarm in your body and you went up into your head to try and escape from it, to try and think your way out of a feeling, which you can't do because the feeling just gets worse. The alarm just gets worse. So the critical point is to be able to sit with the alarm and stay with the alarm as a version of your younger self. Put your hand over it, connect to it, stay with it, and watch the compulsion that your mind has to try and pull you back up into thoughts and worries. And when you stay with that alarm, you begin to metabolize it. You begin to move through it and process it. But if every time you feel the alarm, consciously or unconsciously, you go into your mind and you start ruminating on it, this down here in your chest, in your belly, wherever your alarm is, never gets dealt with. And it only gets worse over time. So the takeaway message of this entire episode is to find your alarm, stay with it, and just avoid adding thoughts to it. Because as you stay with it, you will start to acclimatize to the feeling and realize, yes, this hurts. I don't like this feeling. But when I can stay with it, I no longer have to escape into my head and escape into chronic worry. That's the key takeaway, is being able to stay with the alarm, even if it hurts, especially if it hurts, and learn how to metabolize it. Because that's how you heal instead of just coping. And I'll see you next time. Thank you so much for listening to the Anxiety Rx podcast. I created this show because I don't want you to have to suffer with anxiety the way that I did. And I truly wish I'd known this stuff 30 years ago. It would have changed everything for me. For more support, please explore my best-selling book, Anxiety Rx, or my very affordable online program, MBRX. Remember, all anxiety is separation anxiety, and mostly separation from that hurt part of you. So keep holding on to that part of you that hurts, and I'll see you next time.